Tell someone next to you, don't trip. Don't trip. I say that a lot to Kelly. Don't trip, Kel. I'll get to it. Well, she says it to me. Not really. I'm just kidding. Come on now. Don't take it too serious. But go ahead and tell the other person to the other side, don't trip. Today, I want to talk to you about that message, don't trip. But I want to talk to you about culture, on how culture will trip you up. Culture will trip you up. Father, bless your word. Bless our hearts and our ears that we might receive your word. Open up our hearts, I pray, God. Open up our minds. Open up our spirits, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Culture will trip you up. If you're going to be about your culture, it'll eventually trip you up. When you get saved, when you are in God, if you're about culture, it'll trip you up. It'll make you trip. You see, because when you're in God, you're supposed to be about kingdom culture. And by the way, I want to welcome all those who are watching us by Facebook Live. Welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. Culture will make you trip if you're about your culture and not about kingdom culture. We have an adversary out there who is trying to get you to stumble. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour or seeking who he may trip up. The enemy wants to make you trip. He wants to get your marriage to trip. He wants to get your children to trip. That's his purpose. We are in a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle that this book talks about, that millions and millions of people who have tried to discredit it still can't discredit it. It's still the number one seller. And it says we're in a spiritual warfare, and in this spiritual warfare, we trip up sometimes. The enemy gets us to trip up. By the way, Steph and Manny, welcome. It's so good to have in the house. Laura, welcome. All the way from Pennsylvania, welcome. Glad you're here. Amen. Pastor Gary's daughter, amen. Still a Giants fan? Okay, all right, just checking. Still a Giants fan? What? Well, I know I don't want to see a Texas Ranger hat on you. Okay, all right, good. Okay, good, good, good. Just checking. Amen. So the enemy is going to make you trip. That's his purpose. That's his goal. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have life abundantly. Amen? That's his purpose. That's his plan. So let me tell you about the word culture. If the enemy's trying to get you to trip, he's going to use culture to do it a lot of times. Not every time, but a lot of time. What does culture mean? Culture is the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or social group. That's what the word culture means. Let me read that again, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to twist it so to help you understand a little more. Culture is the habits or personalities or ways of people, a group of people, like a church, like a race, like a family, like a job. Everywhere you go, there's a culture. There is a culture or the ways of that environment or the ways of those people. And here at this church, we have our own culture as well. Now, our challenge is to not be about our culture, but our challenge is to be about kingdom culture. Not my way, but his way. That's our challenge. And in this church, we do our best to be about kingdom culture. We don't always achieve it because no church is perfect and no people is perfect. No one here is perfect. Nobody here can walk on water, but we try to do what's right. We try to do what's important. We try to do what God wants us to do. Kingdom culture. In this church, we are not about a race. We are about all races. We are not about a race. The most confusing thing is that when we get so tied up into our own, whatever that may be, then it's difficult to be united. But when we're about just ours, it's difficult to be united. And this church, that hasn't changed in 34 years, and as long as I'm pastoring, it's not going to change. We are a people of all races, not a race, but all races. And it doesn't say a people of culture. And I've learned that even in our Spanish church, okay, you would think it's a Spanish church and they're all united, right? Because they all speak Spanish. Wrong. You have the Puerto Ricans that think their Spanish is perfect. You have the Nicaraguans that think their Spanish is perfect. You have the those from El Salvador that think their Spanish is perfect. You have those from Mexico that think their Spanish is perfect. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? I had one group of people complain to me and say, that pastor who's Puerto Rican doesn't speak good Spanish. They don't speak proper Spanish. What? We're one church. Oh, no, pastor, in the Spanish culture, I mean, there's different segments. Well, it shouldn't be like that then. It shouldn't be like that in Spanish, and it shouldn't be like that in English. And I don't accept either congregations being that way, either. Because someone doesn't speak your perfect language? What? Come on. That shouldn't happen in this house. That shouldn't happen in this house. There's a culture that is being raised up in this country today called critical race theory culture. And they're indoctrinating our children in the elementary school. You know, just to sum it up, this is what critical race theory says. White people are inherently bad and racist. Black people are inherently victims. Brown people are inherently victims. And as long as we all accept that, then we can all move on with life and get along. I reject that theory all the way to hell. All the way to hell. That's not what this book teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is when all men come together and dwell in unity. That's what God's word says. I wonder what Martin Luther King would say today about critical race theory. All white people are bad? Really? My wife's half white. All brown people are victims? I reject that like you will not believe. I'm not a victim. All black people are victims? What? Heck no, I don't receive that whatsoever. I want to play a little clip by the great Dr. Martin Luther King.
Will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one...
Now, I wanted them just to play that segment. I love the whole speech, believe me. But that part there. What would he say about critical race theory? This was his purpose, that we should forget about the color of our skin and we should be judged by the content of our character. By the content of our character. That's what Dr. King would not, in my opinion, Dr. King would not accept critical race theory today. And I hope the parents of this church who have their children in elementary schools, I hope you raise up and head over to the meetings of the school meetings, school district meetings, and I hope you speak up. I hope you speak up. And if you do, if you go to a meeting, I'll join you. I'll go with you and speak up with you. But be ready for a battle, because it will be a battle, because there's a culture that's raising up right now. There's a culture in this land that's raising up. In fact, the culture of 2021 is a very confusing culture. The day and age that we live in, it's not an easy day to live in. It's complex. It's different. It's difficult. Growing up in this culture, is a very confusing culture. You see, today, it's okay for somebody to, well, if you kill a protected animal, you'd go to jail. When we built this church, they put us on hold for 3 months because they found the poop of a red-tailed fox. So they say, I never saw it in their hands. I was like, go pick it up, find it. I mean, test it. But, you know, the environmentalist said, no, there's red-tailed fox poop on your property. And they stopped the project. We had to get permitting. We had to jump through all kinds of hoops because a red-tailed fox is protected by our federal government. You know what's not protected? A baby in the womb of a mother. A baby in the womb of a mother is not protected in this country. Red-tailed foxes, there's a species of worms that are protected. Species of fish are protected. Species of birds are protected. Not babies in the womb. That's the culture in which we live in today. That's the culture that we live in today, right now. We live in such a confusing culture that says to our children, what? You don't want to be Joe anymore? You don't want to be little Joey? You can be Josephine. That's what our culture says. And what baffles me to no end is that the church, hey, live and let live, Bishop. Come on, man. Live and let live. This is the 2021. You got to be in. You got to be okay with those things. Really? How confusing it must be for a child when a child says, I'm not sure about who I am, and I'm not sure if I'm a boy or a girl. Instead of saying, okay, well, though you have male genitals, we're going to call you a girl. How confusing is that? And you want us to be okay with it? The church should be okay with it? How about speaking truth to that child? How about getting that child some help? How about getting that child some counseling? How about finding out what God says about that child and who that child is? But the culture of our time says, no, 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 don't raise, don't say anything because you'll get blasted for it. You'll get hated on for it. The culture. We live in a very selfie generation, right? Come on. And some of y'all good selfies, don't. Listen, I'm not bagging on it. I'm not the social media police. But my point that I want to make is that this selfie generation has become a very selfish generation. A very selfish culture. A culture that's very much into themselves. Very much. I mean, how many ways are you going to pose to take a selfie? How many ways? Lips puckered, lips unpuckered. Some people are taking selfies in the bathroom because it's a better shot through the mirror. All right, well, you know, and I've been told, people have said to me, you got to get with the program. Look, there's other pastors out there that, man, they're really good at that. And they're, you know, connecting with the younger generation, and they're connecting with the, you know, millennials, and they're connecting with the Z generation, and because they're taking a lot of selfies. All right. My generation grew up knowing and believing that if I decrease, He will increase. So it's not that easy for us. I haven't seen Pastor Gary with too many selfies lately. Although I saw some really good pictures of you yesterday. I saw you with David Cassidy hair. That looked pretty good, man. Keith Partridge of the Partridge family. The culture is very selfish. It's about me. It's about what I want. And if you don't agree with me, the culture says that I'm going to blast you. If you don't agree with how I think, I'm going to blast you. That's what this social media culture says. You don't agree with how I think? Then I don't need you. I don't want to. You know how many people walked away from me because I'm a pro-lifer? People think I'm pro this president, pro that president. I'm about the babies in the womb first and foremost. I've been called to protect life first and foremost. I had precious people leave our church. People that I love leave our church. Well, you can't be talking about that anymore from the pulpit. Really? I can't talk about life from the pulpit? I can't talk about babies in the womb from the pulpit? Are you serious? Well, we've got to preach truth. And we're going to preach truth. This culture is a very selfish culture. It's a culture that is into me, myself, and I. And all I'm saying is that we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful that people see Jesus. Today, people can't even help, right? Help the poor without taking a selfie. Yep, helping the poor today. Yep, giving food today. Now, I don't mind doing that to help promote the ministry so that more people can come and give goods to help the poor. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who... I just gave 10 bucks, man, to this guy in need. Just helping people. That's me. That's what I do. Selfie here, selfie there. Selfish generation, that's what it's become. And that's going to trip you up in your walk with God. The enemy will trip. When you don't get your way, when it's all about you and you don't get identified, it's going to trip you up. And you don't get the likes that you want, it's not real. I know it says that it's a friends list. It's not real. A friend is somebody that's going to stick closer than a brother. A friend is somebody that's going to walk with you through tough times. Those are not real friends. They call friends on Facebook. Connect here. That's why we're trying so hard to connect here, to reestablish connection, to reestablish friendship, to reestablish fellowship, because we need each other. We need each other beyond a device. We need each other beyond a device. We need connection beyond this. And some people, well, this is their connection. And, you know, hey, whatever. I'm speaking to my church here this morning. Speaking to my church. And you're watching on a device. That's good. I'm glad you're watching on a device. Praise God. This culture will trip you up. Even when you're giving, even when you're doing good, and we can't help but to take that selfie of it. But there was a time back in the day when you worked hard, and I taught this, and I still teach it in internship. Do and work hard so that others will talk about how great you're doing. Not yourself. Not yourself. But when you do and you keep working and you keep doing and you keep working, others will notice it. And when others notice it, it's because you're leading the way. But not today. Today's culture is take a picture of yourself so others notice it. They notice what you're doing. I was moved. Pastor Gary, he and Teresa, you know, are moving to be with their family. They're retiring. They're going to be with their family in Pennsylvania. July 11th is going to be, he's going to preach that day, and we're going to bless them out that day. It's going to be a powerful day, an exciting day for them, emotional, all of it. I get all of it. And yes, all of the above. About a year, maybe, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the Lord woke me up about 3 o'clock in the morning to pray for him specifically. Because he gets up about 2:30 in the morning and he's on the road to the Bay Area to work at Hayward. He does that 5 days a week, sometimes six. Others like Pastor Dan Lewis, others We have a lot of commuters in our church, and so specifically the Lord woke me up to pray for him, and I did, and I would get up to pray for him, and it happened every day. Before you know it, this became kind of my call. It became kind of my purpose, where I'd wake up every morning and just covering all of our commuters. God, give them grace. God, protect them. God, make them aware. Make others aware of them. I mean, just I would go into war for all of our commuters, and I'd see all of your faces throughout the morning as I'm praying. And one thing I found out about PG, about Pastor Gary, is that he'd get to work about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And one day I asked him, I was like, well, what time do you really start? Oh, well, you know. I thought it was like my dad. You see, my dad would start work. He worked at a meat company, and he would start at 6 o'clock, but he had to be there by 4:30 in the morning. That was my dad. He had to be there by 4:30 in the morning. So I kind of thought PG was the same way. And I said, so, you know, you just got to be there early, right? PG says, well, you know, I have my routines. I said, well, what is that routine? He says, well, I have my devotions. I get into the Word of God. I get into the big book, and I pray. And he said this, and then I go to every office in the building, and I pray over the offices. I pray over the people in the offices. I was like, and he just kind of said it in passing. I was like, uh-huh. He said, excuse me, what? He said, well, I pray over people in the offices. I was like, wow. And he's been there for 40 years at that company. And I wonder if his employer, his boss, even knew that he prays over everybody every single morning and lays his hands on the offices for people who are going to occupy those offices. Why am I bringing that up? Because you want others to recognize what you do. He never did that for his own purpose and recognition to be seen on Facebook. He did it for the purpose of God, because he picked up the cross and said, I'm going to do God's will, not my own. Not for the purpose of being recognized, but for the purpose of doing God's will. Are you listening this morning? Powerful. Culture will trip you up. Culture will trip you up. There's a culture out today that was a culture that's changed a lot. In my day, when I grew up in the church, my grandfather, who pastored in Los Angeles, East Los Angeles, the culture was much different back then than it is today. There's a culture among the people of God in this country, in the church, that believe it's okay to drink alcohol. Well, that's your business. That's all you, whatever. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. My struggle with it is having New Life Recovery and getting people off of alcohol on Wednesdays. And yet, pastors and leaders can gather and have a brew and have a beer and have a wine cooler on Sunday afternoons celebrating their services when we're trying to get people off of alcohol. My struggle is alcohol kills 95,000 people every year. 95,000. And you're connected with that? You have it in your home? That's your business. But you came, I'm talking, I'm sharing. Hey, I'm not, whatever. That I'm not the alcohol police officer, right? Now, let me speak to the pastors and leaders of this church. You committed to a higher standard with me. And you committed to losing privileges when you committed to becoming a leader or a pastor or a minister. And part of that DNA, as you know, because I've said this a dozen million times, does not include alcohol. I don't care if other pastors are doing it. I don't care if other churches are doing it. I don't care if other Assemblies of God churches have approved it. That is not us. That should not be a point of confusion here in this church. You don't need it. You don't need it. Now, if that's you, that's your business. You do that. But if you're a leader, that's different. If you're a pastor here, that's a different story. I've said this to him, and I'm speaking openly to my pastors, and you're kind of tuned in, and people on Facebook are tuned in, and you're welcome to hear this short little segment of a meeting, and that is, if you choose this way of alcohol, you will disqualify yourself from ministry in this church. I'm talking to the pastors and leaders. I will never forget being at the homeless shelter in Stockton, ministering to a young African man who was shaking, just his hands. And I grabbed him and I held on to him. And I prayed with him and I said, what's wrong with you? He says, I just can't stop drinking. And he was shaking like this. I lost my family. He said, I lost everything. He says, I'll be right back. He said, I got to show you something. And he ran wherever he was living. He ran and he came back. And you know what he brought to me? He brought an old choir robe. He wanted me to know that one day he was in the choir and one day he was in the church and his family was with him. And I said, what happened? Alcohol. I just abused my family so much that they couldn't have me live there anymore, so I live on the streets. Oh, but it's okay. Have a beer, church. Go ahead, pastors. Have a beer. Open a brewery. Go ahead. That's all right. Go for it. Not here. Look, there's other churches that believe differently. That's why you got McDonald's. That's why you got Burger King, Jack in the Box. That's why you got In-N-Out, Five Guys. You can have whatever burger, however you want it. And by the way, I still think McDonald's has the best fries. And it's kind of that way in church. Different strokes for different folks. And some churches have no problem with alcohol. And some pastors, they'll crack open a beer with you. No problem. Well, that's not me. And that's not the DNA of our church. I'm sorry. It just isn't. So apparently some have been confused about that. So we're going to clear it up. We're going to clear it up. And that's what we're doing right now. It doesn't matter if it's the culture of the church today. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Bishop, you need to wake up. It's getting to year 2021. Well, look, one day I'll be gone, and one day I'll be in the grave, and you all can do whatever you want to do at that point. But for the record, I ain't going nowhere. Even when I retire, you all going to have to put up with me. I'll be nagging you from the grave. Culture will trip you up. The way of the world will trip you up if you get caught up in it. If you lean into it, if you make it part of you. But God's word says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. I think it's pretty perilous when we're saying to children, if you want to be a girl but you're a boy, that's perfectly fine. That's perilous times. That's perilous times. I'm not talking about just bombs from Iran coming in or countries attacking us. That's perilous, absolutely. But just as bad as that is a culture that will say to children, you're a boy, but if you want to be a girl, that's perfectly fine. That's perilous times. That's perilous times. But know this, in the last day, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Now, I can preach a whole message on that one today with the young generation and all generations for that matter. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And here's one, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such people, stay away. From such people, stay away. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or culture or their ways or how they believe, an empty deceit according to the tradition of not God, but men. This is Colossians 2, verse 8. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now listen to me. There are no perfect pastors. You hear me say that all the time. There are no perfect churches anywhere. No perfect people sitting in the chairs anywhere. We all need the cross. We all stumble. We all trip up. We all make mistakes. That's why we depend on the cross. So we're not trying to lock anybody in and judge anybody. We're saying we're setting standards in this house. And when you don't abide by that standard, when you trip up, well, then we're going to offer you the blood of Jesus just like I need it, just like I need the cross, just like I need him to be forgiven, just like I need him. We want to make sure you are offered him too. Not the ways of man, but the ways of Christ. Are you listening? And one last scripture I want to give to you this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I think America needs a mind renewal. I think the church of God needs a mind renewal. I think I need that. I hope you need it too. Because if you think you've arrived, then we got problems. I'm 60 years old, and I have not arrived. I got a lot of growing up to do. I got a lot of spiritual growing up to do. And I want to invite you to this journey with me. Let's grow up together. Let's grow up together. Let's make mistakes together, and let's forgive one another together. Let's get on this path to God. Let's get on this path to kingdom culture. Together. And let's help each other grow. Let's help each other grow by encouraging, by helping one another. That word help is such a powerful word in the Bible. It's such a powerful word. Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to send to you the Comforter. That word comforter in the literal Greek language, it also means helper. So Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send God the helper to you. My Father will send God the helper to you. The helper. That's such an amazing word. Why? Because I need help. Kelly says that to me all the time. You need help. I know. His name is the helper. That's his name. Helper. Helper. Because everybody needs help. All of us do. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved for a day or you've been saved for 60 years. We all need help. We're all in this together. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love that he's called the helper. Because at any moment, you can hear me say, I need your help, God. At any moment, you can hear me pray, God, I need help. I need you. You are the helper. You are the helper. I need you, God. Don't let culture trip you up. Be about the kingdom culture, God's way. Not man's way, God's way. And have I arrived at figuring that out? Absolutely not. But I'm saying let's get on that journey together and let's grow together and let's pursue kingdom culture together. And in that way, as we along that path, we'll grab others in with us. We'll grab others in with us. We'll grab others in with us. Come on, let's find God's way. Not my way or man's way, but God's way. Come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Father, in your precious name, I worship and praise you and give you all the honor and glory, all the praise that all belongs to you. Heavenly Father, I just pray blessings upon our family this morning. Peace. I pray peace. Upon all those who are struggling right now, God, I pray peace. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray peace. With every eye closed, if you need the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never made a decision to serve Jesus, and that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know Jesus. Raise your hand. God bless you. Anybody else you want to know Jesus, raise your hand so I can see it and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to know Jesus. We have a couple of people. And then we have a few other people here. If you need help this morning, well, we want to pray with you. I'm going to have my prayer team come forward, and their purpose is to help you get in tune with God, help you with your burdens. They've been trained for this. So if you need help this morning in any way, maybe you're sick in body, let them help you. Come get prayer. Maybe you need encouragement. Let them help you. Come get encouragement when they pray for you. They're going to lay hands on you. Come. Anybody need help this morning? This is a time. We're going to be dismissed in a moment, but before we do, let's just offer you help. I want to offer you help. Come right here. They're going to help you. Carlos. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else need help this morning? The altars are open. Anybody else need help? The altars are open. The altars are open. Just come. Come to the altars of God if you need help this morning. Hallelujah. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to pray for you still here in the chairs. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want you. Not culture, we want you. We want you, God. We want your word, not man's word. We want your word. God, I pray you strengthen our families. I pray, God, for that the enemy would be blocked because he's coming against marriages right now. So I rebuke and bind the enemy in the name of Jesus who's trying to cause a separation between a man and a woman. In the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that the enemy would have to take his hands off the couples of this church. So I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Every marriage I cover with the blood of Jesus right now in the name of Jesus. I cover you in the blood of Jesus right now, your marriage. I cover your children in the name of Jesus and your children's children. I cover them right now by the power and the presence of God. In the name of Jesus, and may the Lord bless you, and yes, keep you, and yes, make his face to shine all upon you, and be good to you. Come on, just raise your hands to the Lord just for 1 minute here, and just say, I receive that. I receive that blessing. I receive that prayer. Come on, just say that. I receive it. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to hear you. First of all, I want to say if you're a first-time visitor, you can be dismissed over to my left, that visitor sign there. Pastor Carrie and Pastor Michelle will meet you there. And they'll also sign you up for fireworks there. But listen to me. For everybody, before you go, I want you to hear this. I am so grateful that you came to this house to worship today. I'm so honored that you're here. I'm so honored you're here. For those watching on Facebook, thank you for joining us. I'm honored, humbled that all of you, whether you've been here for one day or you've been with me for 30 years, I'm humbled to be your pastor. May the Lord bless you. God bless you today. Amen.